From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California's unhoused population has spiked nearly 40% in the past 5 years. Roughly 180,000 people on any given night are experiencing homelessness, which can range from the street, sleeping in cars, living in encampments or shelters. And in recent years, court rulings have put limits on a city or county's ability to clear encampments and interact with people experiencing homelessness. A recent investigation found that in that time, one type of response has grown, hiring private security guards to patrol shelters, encampments, and the streets. When compared to law enforcement, the private security guard industry comes with different oversight and training, and advocates and unhoused people across the state argue this can compound already tense and dangerous situations. That investigation comes from CalMatters. It is a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. Investigative reporter Lauren Hepler joins us to share her findings. Hey, Lauren.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
So let's just start from the very beginning. What got you interested, or how did you even discover the private security industry in California when it relates to homelessness?
Yeah, so this goes back to the pandemic. I was actually reporting out from a public tennis court of all places in Sausalito, where things had gotten so bad in late 2020, early 2021, that the city had decided, you know what, we're going to buy tents and we're going to set up an encampment on this tennis court. And as part of that, they paid a nonprofit group called Urban Alchemy more than $400,000 to run the encampment. And what that eventually led to a lot of things. But one thing it led to was a lawsuit where there were allegations made against workers there, where the residents said the women were sexually harassed. They said that these guys were trafficking methamphetamine. And that just made me kind of curious, you know, how many of these folks that you see in kind of uniforms around encampments or in shelters, how much is this happening? And we found more than a dozen other legal cases across California where there were alleged sexual assaults, there were wrongful death cases. And it seemed like something to just dig into to understand better.
So why are private security guards being used as a resource with the state's growing unhoused population? I mean, where are we finding them?
Yeah, there's a couple reasons for that. One thing is that in these situations where you do have city-sanctioned encampments or new kinds of shelters that are opening, often cities will require that there be 24/7 security. So that's one thing fueling demand for guards. The guards are also cheaper than police. A lot of times guards are starting at $18, $19 an hour, so just above minimum wage for what are, by all accounts, dangerous and, you know, potentially volatile jobs.
Hmm. Who is hiring them typically? You mentioned a city-sanctioned encampment as one example. So is this pretty much like local governments that are contracting private security guards?
Yeah, it's a mix, and it sometimes gets a little confusing to know who's hiring who. But so sometimes there are these direct contracts where it's a city or a county that's making the hire. Sometimes it's a government contractor that's already like a nonprofit that's operating a homeless shelter, and they'll be the ones who hire a private security company to staff that shelter. Or in other cases, and this goes back to like the 1990s, there are downtown business groups. They're called BIDS is kind of the acronym they're known by, that they sometimes hire their own guards to walk around on the streets in areas where there may be encampments.
So if we already have law enforcement in cities and counties and even, you know, statewide, why are private guards doing this type of patrolling rather than being able to call police or the sheriff's department?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I talked about it with the owner of a private security company in Fresno a bit, and he said, and, you know, there's always been kind of a mix, like the private security industry has been around a long time. But he said the old model was kind of observe and report. And if you hear of anything happening, then the private guard just calls the police and they come. We know that police staffing has declined in California. Like I think you mentioned early on, guards now outnumber sworn law enforcement officers 4-1 in California. So there are a lot more guards.
4-1?
Four to one is the number. Yeah, there are more than 301,000 licensed private security guards in California. So we're talking about a big pool of people. Obviously, not all of those work with homeless folks, but it's a big pool of workers. And the other thing this gentleman who owns a company in Fresno told me was that, you know, in the past, you would call the police, sure, but today, if you make that same phone call and say, "Hey, we've got a situation, like at an encampment or something like that," it might be 2 or 3 days before they respond. Or businesses will tell you sometimes the police don't come at all. So this starts to run into some of the concerns we've heard about a lot more since the pandemic of kind of concerns about crime and police response times. And one way that some folks are filling what they see as a gap is hiring their own guards.
Okay, so the original intended role of a private security guard over the years and decades has evolved. And so there are circumstances where these guards are taking a more active role in patrolling these sites. So when it comes down to training, how is their training different from law enforcement?
It's really different. So for security guards in California, you're required to do 40 hours of training within your first 6 months on the job. And that's compared to a minimum of more than 660 hours for law enforcement. So there's a big gap in just the amount of time you're in kind of, you know, like a learning environment. Like I said, the pay is structured very differently. If you're a guard, those jobs start just above minimum wage. Police, if you make it through the academy, obviously those jobs are starting at higher salaries with different types of benefits. And one thing that really was kind of pervasive in this story is that given how high California's housing costs are and how these jobs can sometimes not pay a lot, in a lot of cases, you've got guards who themselves may be struggling to get by or even struggling to stay housed working with homeless people. So I think it just really kind of reinforces kind of the scope of our housing challenges and how kind of dire that can get.
In terms of oversight, who oversees the private security guard industry in California? And what actions can happen if there is a private security guard that is accused of misbehavior?
Yeah, so I had no idea what agency this was, like even 6 months ago. But if you look it up, the California agency that regulates private security guards is called the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services, or BSIS. And they collect a bunch of different information. So they license the guards. They also collect any public complaints that are filed against guards. They're supposed to have incident reports for, like, if there's a shooting. I mentioned there are wrongful death cases that have been brought by homeless people's families. Those are all supposed to have a paper trail. The challenge here is that they denied our request for those public records. They said, "Oh, they're all parts of investigations, so you can't see them." So we're still fighting that battle. But at this point, we know that those reports are supposed to exist, but we unfortunately haven't seen them.
Do you have an idea if the number of complaints that have been filed have increased over the span of time that California's homelessness population has increased?
Yes, we do know that there's been an increase in overall complaints against private security guards. BSIS told me they've received more than 20,000 complaints about private security guards since 2019, but they told me that they don't have any way to search for how many involved unhoused people. So again, this is something that we know is a growing trend, and it's frustrating that there's a lot of unanswered questions, and it doesn't seem that there's a ton of attention being paid to how this is all working.
So you actually did the work, the investigative work, of course, to find how many total cases you could find that are similar to the one that sparked this whole thing in Sausalito. I mean, how many total cases were you able to find?
Yeah, I mean, we were left to just search for civil lawsuits, basically, and we found more than a dozen cases. There's some additional criminal cases, but we found more than a dozen across the state, really. So there were shelter residents in multiple Southern California cities that alleged that they were raped or sexually assaulted by shelter guards. And that includes cases, you know, where the guards have actually been sentenced and gone to prison. There was the Sausalito case I mentioned with allegations of drug trafficking and again, sexual harassment. And then there were two families that have filed wrongful death lawsuits. The one in Fresno, the guard company has already settled. And there's another ongoing case in Los Angeles where a homeless woman's family members sued after she was killed by a fellow shelter resident, but there was a guard on duty who they say never came to the scene despite like a long attack, loud screams. So it raises the question of, even if it's the guard themselves that's not being accused of like participating in misconduct, how much are they really looking out for the safety of people, again, in these dangerous settings?
And beyond these complaints, you spoke to people who are experiencing homelessness. One of them is General Dogon. Tell us about him. How did you meet him?
Yeah, so General Dogon is a very well-known activist. He lives on Skid Row in Los Angeles. He's raised near downtown LA. And has a really interesting vantage point on this because he remembers the first private security guards who started to show up in their bright red t-shirts in like the 1990s. Like I mentioned, this goes back a long time. So he's seen the evolution over the years. And one thing that happened in LA back in the 90s and early 2000s was a series of lawsuits over allegations that security guards were using force, stealing homeless people's belongings. So those have worked through the courts and in some cases put more limits on how guards or cities are supposed to interact with folks. But he says it depends where you are today. Like sometimes they'll still hear similar complaints. So again, it's this question of, how are things actually playing out day to day and who's keeping an eye on that?
Well, let's take a listen to an excerpt of what he told you.
And they was worse than the police. They was jacking up homeless people, taking their tents, pushing them down the street. They were so bad, we was getting complaints from drug dealers that they was taking the drug dealer stuff.
And so that is just a very quick excerpt. And in addition, you spoke with homeless advocates as well that have their concerns and they make their arguments of their concerns for this growing industry. But on the flip side, you have cities and counties and organizations that are trying to curb a crisis that continues to grow. What do cities and organizations that run these sites that are in charge for running this, what do they say in response to your investigation and your findings?
We got a lot of no comments because of ongoing lawsuits. This is very much a live issue. There's a lot of cities, like just recently I tuned in, San Clemente was debating hiring private security to patrol beaches where homeless folks were known for sleeping. Santa Monica has had debates like this recently. So it's a conversation that I think we're going to continue to hear at a lot of cities because, again, it does sound in theory like a fast, potentially cost-effective way to just deal with an issue that we know is kind of really prominent across California right now. But again, when you look a bit closer, it's like, well, are we really following through to see how it pans out once we hire these guards?
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters investigative reporter Lauren Hepler about her latest piece looking into the growing private security guard industry in response to California's homelessness crisis. Lauren, you mentioned that private security guards have been contracted by cities and counties going back to the 1990s. How has this industry grown in the last 5 years or so alongside California's homelessness population?
Yeah, we've tracked a definite increase in guards. And actually, a lot of folks point to the last big recession, the Great Recession around 2010, 2011, as a real turning point, because since then, we've seen a decline in police numbers in California. But the number of private security officers is up 20%. So I mentioned this earlier, but we've got more than 300,000 licensed private security guards in the state now. So it's definitely something that seems to be on the upswing. And even apart from homelessness, folks might have noticed this like at pharmacies, at grocery stores. I know in my community, I just see more guards different places I'm going every day.
Are these all for-profit private security companies?
For the most part that we're talking about, it is a mix. Sometimes it's like big international global security firms. A big one you might see is like Allied Universal, and there's some other big firms. But then there's also smaller regional players like in the Central Valley, LA, the Bay Area. They all kind of have their own mix of guards. And then there's an interesting group that has really seemed like a kind of creation of the homeless crisis, where their nonprofits, one we looked at was called Urban Alchemy, and they say they offer complementary strategies to security and policing. So again, they're saying like, we're not guards, we're not security companies, but they're very much kind of on the front lines and enlisted in some of these conflicts. One lawsuit called them essentially de facto security companies. And this is an issue where some of their own employees have sued, saying this creates dangerous conditions. They've sued over the low wages. So even if you're not talking about for-profit private security companies, there's a lot of questions about sort of how these jobs work and what will happen in the future if there's more of them.
Yeah, I mean that illustrates the safety concerns on both ends. I mean, if you are a private security guard that doesn't receive the same training as law enforcement, does not receive the same pay as a law enforcement officer, and then, of course, people who are experiencing homelessness as well. I mean, finally, Lauren, I mean, there's a bigger debate taking place, and this is a piece in a larger debate about the right way to respond to homelessness, especially in instances as well if someone doesn't deny but refuses shelter, whether they can't bring pets, for example, or they can't do what they want to do inside a shelter. What is the big message that you take away as this debate continues from the Supreme Court to even California legislation?
Yeah, you said it with the Supreme Court. It's definitely all eyes on what is going to be happening with some of these decisions around when cities are allowed to sweep encampments and what sorts of measures governments can take to try to push people into shelters and off the street. And one thing that really just became so front of mind for me in this reporting is the experience of a woman I spoke with named Wendy Pawitsky in Anaheim. And she went to a shelter. She was a hairstylist in Orange County and had had a lot of issues. She was a single mom, fell out of housing, and she'd been on the street for several years. And so she finally hears that there's a new shelter opened in Anaheim. And she says, okay, I'm going to go check it out. And initially, she was reassured that there was a security guard there. And then she and several other people later alleged in a lawsuit that they were subject to strip searches, to groping, and that they constantly feared evictions if they complained about these things. And she told me in no uncertain terms, after that experience, I will never go to a shelter again. So I think this failure to oversee and to manage the way we're responding to the crisis now really kind of leaves us in this dog chasing its tail, just compounding the problem and making it worse.
Lauren, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is CalMatters investigative reporter Lauren Hepler discussing her latest piece, looking into the growing private security guard industry in response to California's homelessness crisis. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.